good morning to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the fifth day of our retreat, 20th March 2018. And also the beginning of our second session. Our second session, the emphasis will be more stringent. Where noble silence, heedfulness, and the meditative training and actual cultivation will be emphasized. So from now onward, you should strive on with heedfulness to develop the meditative training. Then for those who already train, you just meditate. Then make sure your daily mindfulness is very stable. Then try not to talk. Then be mindful of everything you do, even when attending to your daily needs, taking bath, answering nature's call, waking up, aware. Then your movement, action, or aware. Aware means your body and mind move as one. Attentive, that's it. No need to do anything special. Move at the normal pace. Maintain awareness from inside. Your hand movement, your leg movement, everything you aware. Retreat condition is easier to do. Okay, today we will do a simple puja. Then later at 8:30 after breakfast, we will have a formal full puja because the altar, they have changed. Changed over to a new set of flowers, new set of fruits, offering, everything. So later on, we will do the official puja. We will pass the offering out. Then we will rejoice. Then after that, we will return it to the altar. Then we will use our normal chanting book to do the full puja. Okay, now we will chant the salutation, then renew the 8 precepts. Then I will also administer all these 3 refuges, all those things. But no need to really I think we do it. Because Ingbi is here, we can get Ingbi to help us do the request. Okay, I will chant the Arahang salutation first, then you all make the request. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, saddha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence. Arahang Sammasambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, turn to the retreat version, page 1. Okay, you can begin.
Mayang mitta ti saranena saha atasilani yachama dutiyampi mayang mitta ti saranena saha อัตสีลานิยาชามาตัติยัมปิมายังมิตรติสารเนนะสหะสีลาอัตสีลานิยาชามา
Okay, now we shall chant together, from the Vandana onwards. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama SambuddhasaNamo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Sanghang Saranang GacchamiTatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang GacchamiTatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Tisaranena Gamanang Natitang
Amamita
Okay, turn to page 4. Those who take 5 precepts, you chant up to 5. The rest can follow me here. Chant up to 8.ปาณาติปาตาเวรมณีสิกขาปะฏังสมาทิยามิอะทินาทานาเวรมณีสิกขาปะฏังสมาทิยามิอะปรามาจาริยาเวรมณีสิกขาปะฏังสมาทิยามิมุสาวาทาเวรมณีสิกขาปะฏังสมาทิยามิสุราเมรัยมัจจาปะมาทัฏฐานาเวรมณีสิกขาปะฏังสมาทิยามิวิคาลโภจนาเวรมณีสิกขาปะฏังสมาทิยามินาจกิตวาทิตาวิสุขดาสนามาลากันดาวิเลปานาดารณามันดานาวิบูสานาทานาเวรมณีสิกขาปะฏังสมาทิยามิอุจจาสายนะมหาสายนะเวรมณีสิกขาปะฏังสมาทิยามิ อิมานิอัตตาสิกขาปะฏานิสีเลนะสุขันติยันติสีเลนะโภคสัมปทานสีเลนะนิพพันติยันติตัสมาสีลังวิโสเตอิ
มานิอัตตสิกขาปะฏานิสัมมาทิยามิอิมานิอัตตสิกขาปะฏานิสัมมาทิยามิ Imani attasikapadani samadhiyami.
Sadhu, sadhu,
sadhu.
So the meaning of the last part is very important. Eh? So you have to recall to mind the importance of keeping precept. It not only help you avoid evil, it gives you virtue, and three types of very important beneficial virtue. So I will read to you the English translation. The Buddha said, these are the eight precepts. If you take five, these are the five precepts. Then sila or virtue is a source of spiritual happiness or spiritual joy. So this virtue will be in you. Yeah? You will have this ability to have a peaceful mind with the happiness and the joy. Then the next benefit is sila or virtue is a source of true spiritual wealth. Because of sila, you can receive true spiritual wealth. Yeah? It can happen in many ways. Yeah? Most of the time, you keep precept. You have to go to temple, or you have to go to a way place, a monastery, where people will do the puja chanting. They will administer those precepts to you. Then when you are there, you can receive spiritual teaching. You can perform all the meritorious action, and partake in all the activity that they do, just like this retreat. Then the Buddha says, sila or virtue is also a source of spiritual peacefulness of mind. When you come to this place, the environment, the setting, the vibration, the cultivator, all, they are very different. Then most of them are cultivator, they say their mind state are different. Then you will experience the peace, the calmness and all those things. And this type of mind is very conducive for meditative training, to develop samadhi, to develop the silent mind, to be aware of all action, all movement within the present moment. So if you really take this training seriously, you are really a cultivator. Then the Dhamma protectors will know all the non-human, they will know, they will rejoice. Then later on, after the 8:30 puja, we also invite the devas. Then together, we will commence the second session. Like I explained, today is the 20th March 2018. We are on day 5 of the retreat. We have entered the second session, which is more stringent. Stringent in the sense that the focus now is on the cultivation. Then you have to maintain noble silence. Then you have to develop the meditative training. So this meditative training is very important. Early on, you train your mind to be mindful, to be heedful, stabilize it. Then learn the Dhamma, learn the teaching. First phase is pariyatti, where you learn the teaching, understand what the Buddha teach, the essential Dhamma. Then after that, you put it into practice, which is phase 2. The Buddha call it patipatti. When you put it into practice and cultivation, you will receive the fruition of it, or the result. So that will bring about the third phase of Dhamma, pativeda. So the result of your hard work, the result of your cultivation, it will bring forth the arising of wisdom, understanding, leading to the awakening. So these are the three stages of cultivation. Then phase 3 is the most beautiful, the most meaningful, because you get to experience the fruit of your hard work. You can get to live the noble life of an enlightened being. Then you can have the inner peace, inner calmness, inner awareness, the serenity, tranquility, peacefulness. the heedful living. Then you have the understanding, the virtue, and this will enable you to really appreciate life, and you can live life to the fullest. And this is what Dhamma is all about. So make full use of all this opportunity. Yeah? So with this, we will pay our respect to the Triple Gem. Okay? Everything you do, mindful, eh? Your movement, your activity, how you compose yourself, then how we chant and how we bow. Arahang sama sambuto bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you can be seated. This morning, I think we skip the exercise because we are going to the actual cultivation. So I don't want you all to be distracted. If you want to do on your own, you can. Whatever exercise you need, you can go ahead on your own. What you really need is some form of mindfulness training, stretching. Then what I taught you on a combination of all. Starting with, of course, the stretching, aerobic and all those things, is to make your body, warm, active again. Because this place is a bit cooling, chill. Morning temperature is only about 15. So it's just nice actually. Sometimes your office aircon is also 16 degrees, lowest. But most of you set it up to about 20, 21. So 16 degrees is slightly below our normal aircon temperature, so it's bearable. Because we are fortunate, we have this Uniqlo heat tech and all those things, so it's not cold. It's very conducive. Okay. We try to cover a little bit of this Heart Sutta. There are 2.5 pages left, page 64. Yesterday I briefed you all a little bit on the stages of your nature, then the true mind, the mundane mind, and the external form or external phenomenal world. So I read to you now. You have to return all of the external form, means the external phenomenal world, or manifestation created by the mundane mind, back to the mental consciousness. Then the mental consciousness return it to the pure awareness or the true mind to realize the Buddha nature or the oneness nature, which is also the source of all things. This you can only realize when you have realized enlightenment, Nibbana. And we do this is because we have understood the process of creation. Just like the Buddhist teaching, Sammasambuddha, they realized originally we are the eternal life. The source is the beginning of all things. You can understand, the source. Just like the Tao, it is the oneness. Nothing is apart from the Tao. It's the beginning of all things. That's why in Mahayana Buddhism, they call that our original nature or true nature, 本来的面目自性. All these are the Mandarin words that are very appropriate, very apt. So this one is the unconditioned. We can't talk about it. So from the source, everything come to be. So the first thing that come out of the source is your true mind.Your pure awareness, nothing, it's just the pure awareness. The primordial, primordial mind. Then from there, creation start, evolution start. Then this primordial mind, the primordial darkness, the beginning, the first thought of ignorance, that condition all this, until the consciousness becomes sophisticated.That's how the mundane mind come to be. That's why in the Diamond Sutra and also the Heart Sutra, Hui Ning proclaimed this. How amazing, how extraordinary that the true nature is complete by itself. It is the eternal life, never born. That's why it never get old, never get sick and die. Then all Dhamma,they come from this nature. So nothing is apart from this nature. Then all the other various beautiful description of this oneness nature, the source, the true nature. Then after that, he said nothing is apart from the true nature. All Dhamma arise from that true nature. So you understandFrom the source come the true mind, the pure mind. Then you forgot about your original state of pure mind, true mind. You lost yourself in the mundane mind. Then the mundane mind through the five aggregate of form and mind manifests through consciousness, the phenomenal world, the existential world, the external phenomenal world of form. So this is how creation come to be. So in four stages, you come out. So to return to the source, you have to cultivate backward. Means all our external form, external phenomena, you must come to understand that they are conditioned arising entity, phenomena. That's why it's impermanent. If you attach, grab and cling, one thing's your way,suffering will arise. Then if you understand this, then you will understand because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can call this is me, this is I. Therefore all this can be mine. There is no such thing. This is a delusion, self-delusion. Then from there you will know there is nosuch thing as a self, a true self or whatever. No. Within the phenomenal world, the conditioned world, the form and mind is not real, it's impermanent. Because it's impermanent, it's empty, it's non-self. That's how the teaching come about. Then when you understand this, you are not deluded, you are not deceived. Then you can return them back to consciousness. Because you know all creation come from consciousness.That's why the Buddha said, mind is a forerunner of all things, mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. Then when you return all this back to consciousness, you realize they are just images, mind state, not real. Externally already, like the Buddha said, they are dependent originating, condition arising by itself is already empty, not real.That's why the unreality of form, empty nature of form. Then when you understand this, you will not be deceived by form. Form delusion will be gone. Then within the mental, the mundane mind, you realize there is four more aggregate of mind, which is more subtle. Then you meditate, you silence your mind. You have to silence your mind, the mundane mind. Then the true mind shine forth.Then that true mind can awaken. We are the direct seeing. you will understand that the mind state, the aggregate of mind, the feeling, perception, sankhara, and consciousness, they are also impermanent, non-self, empty, cannot be clung onto, cannot be held onto, cannot be grasped onto, otherwise suffering will arise. And then from there, you develop the wisdom. Then you allow the mind to cease. Because, like I explained, after you realize, everything is not what you think, not real, empty. So think also like that, don't think also like that. So the mind will cease. That's how it ceases. When it ceases, you go through the realization of Nibbana. That's what enlightenment is all about. Then even the pure awareness ceases, the true mind ceases. Then the unconditioned manifests. That's how you return. Huh? But there is no being to return, understand? The form of mind, through the mundane mind, realize itself and cease. That's it, finish. No more word, no more concept, no more ideology or whatever. Okay, so this part, I hope is clear. Huh? All the drawing, everything is very nicely explained. Then part 3, question 1. In meditation, usually how long will it take for the mind to settle down into stillness? So a lot of cultivators are very interested in this. Huh? So you know, it depends on the individual, true or not. Huh? Everyone is different. That's why I answer, it depends on the individual. If you have cultivated correctly, consistently, and your wisdom and daily mindfulness are already very established, then stillness of mind can be realized relatively fast. It can happen within minutes, but if you do not, if you have not done it, or the training and the wisdom is not established as yet, then it may not happen, and to settle down into stillness may be quite a difficult task. That's why I say it depends. When you understand, it's very easy. You don't understand, it's very difficult. So when I came out to test my own form of mind in the private sector, I saw. That's why I can understand. When living beings are heedless, when I came out, I already heedful. But because I want to find out, I get myself involved in very complicated and complex job scope and activity. Then I realized I need to use memory, I need to read, I need to perceive, I need to do a lot of worldly things. Then this mind will be affected because it will tell you, if you want to suffer, you go ahead and do all these things. Yeah, these are worldly things. Then my mind was so sensitive at that time. Every moment of consciousness, even the arising of that consciousness, the fine suffering, my nature can feel. My mindfulness is so stable, so sensitive, it can feel. Then every moment of contact, it can be there. Then every moment of movement from that contact, the arising of consciousness, the content of consciousness, this mindfulness can be at the moment of feeling, at the moment of perception, at the moment of activity of mind, at the moment of emotion or movement or what. That's why you can stay there. And it's like you can stop it there. It's not that you can stop because you are aware. It doesn't move. Wherever you place your awareness, it will be there. That's why wherever you locate this mind that is in sati, it's very sensitive. It can feel the vibration, everything, even know what is happening. Then when you silence everything, it also can be aware of the environment, the nature, the vibration. Like just now the chanting down there is all very clear. All the activity. Then they chant the Kuan Yin's name and all those things. So this is the power of the mind. If you train it properly, then it becomes what it is. Then it can be very helpful, very useful, then it will listen to you. Then you can use it. Then you become different. You are heedful. You no longer heedless. Then there is clarity. Everything is there. That's why after I put it to test, I came to know what this is all about. Then after I finish my office activity, as you know, I have to remember things, I have to read and all that. Then I realize up here, there is this movement that is very fine, and the fine suffering this nature can feel. So after that, when I went back, because I was still mindful, that's why I told you, I just relaxed, silent, and I want to find out. I silent my mind. Then I saw this sankhara. By that time, my mundane, my head hasn't collapsed. This sankhara move. Then I just observe it with the awareness. Oh, then I came to know. So what I did? I didn't do anything. I just silenced my mind. Then I told you within 2 or maximum 3 minutes, everything slowed down. Still. That's how I know. Meditation, no need to do anything. Just relax, silent. You go back to your original true mind. The pure awareness. The silent mind. The stillness of mind. The tranquility of mind. So this question is very relevant. Understand? So stillness is not difficult. Tranquility of mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind is not difficult if you understand. But if you don't understand, you simply do thought-based meditation, you can never get it. By now, I hope this message is very clear, so that you know how to meditate, then you will progress very fast. Okay, next question. You see, the human mind through the mundane mind, I got a lot of this style funny question. What actually returned to the source? Like that also want to ask. This is due to what? Due to what? Curiosity of your mundane mind. Got anything to do with you? Can help you? Why you want to know this? The cultivation is more important, isn't it? Before you even cultivate and realize the silent mind, you want to know who returned. When there is a who, what happened? That is your ego, isn't it? Atta, isn't it? Someone want to know who. The next question is what? Who enlightened? True or not? Because you so kanchong, meditate, enlightened nobody. Like that, meditate for what? You don't want to meditate. Nobody enlightened. You go and think like that. Sorry. You cannot be helped. To me, the more important task is the immediate task of training, then realizing. Then only you can understand. Otherwise, all this comes from your thought. The mundane mind, which is full of delusion, wrong view. That's why don't be gullible. Anyway, I still answer this Kayanamita because I know a lot of people want to ask this question. I said there is no one to return to the source. When I say this, it's like there is no one to be enlightened, like the Hatsuta. They say in Cantonese, pour cold water. And I said, pour cold water, you expect somebody then suddenly put lung soy. You don't feel it. So there is no one to return to the source. It's just the mundane mind, like I explained, that realizes itself and sees. That's it. I already explained. Because at that time, people were not listening. That's why they asked this question. Then the cessation of form and mind, which is a realization of Nibbana, is without any mind and totally without any thought or even the pure awareness or consciousness. Hence, it cannot be spoken or expressed or understood via words, knowledge, or ideas and concept, which is still within the field of thought. The mind ceases, but you are not dead. And consciousness, that's why I put the you inverted comma, means the form and mind. And consciousness can still come back if it is still not time to parinibbana as yet. It's just like the analogy of the candlelight that sees. So the candlelight that sees, if the wick and the wax is still there, the life force is still there, you can still introduce the life force and light the candle in there. Then it will continue to burn. You understand? It's just similar. Then the next question is what? Buddhist meditation talk about mental liberation and enlightenment via the Buddhist way. Can non-Buddhists also gain enlightenment via meditation? See, the thought got this funny idea. Everything also want to know. Who want to know? Huh? The thought, the egoic mind. But don't get me wrong. I don't mind people ask this question so that I can clarify. Understand? But what I'm trying to warn you is, after you have the understanding, don't be gullible anymore. Why you want to know all this? These are knowledge that are not important. Unless your ego is there. Hey, I can answer, no people ask next time. Oh. And how you answer? Good, Brother Teo. Then what happened? People ask you to explain, cannot explain. I don't know lah, Brother Teo say one. So how? You get yourself into trouble, then they come and see me, they challenge me, I also get into trouble. Understand or not? They will come and say, the Buddha never say this, no. Oh, my teacher never say this, no. So, how? Is that what you want? If not, don't quote me, please. You understand, then you can explain. You don't understand, you have not gone through, try not to do anything. You can just sincerely say, I heard about it. But these are not important. My focus is like what I have learned. The cultivation is more important. When I cultivate, when I realize, I will understand all this. Then the answer is automatic. Okay? Yeah. So I read to you the answer nevertheless. Yes, because like the Buddha said, the Dhamma or truth was already there before him. And he only realized it after the enlightenment. So truth is not monopolized by Buddhists or any religion for that matter. Whatever that can explain the way things are is the truth. Hence, truth is not your truth or my truth. For these are the individual's opinion of truth. So now you understand. Your truth, my truth, other people's truth are relative truth. But the reality, the real truth, is only one aspect, no words. Whatever that can explain the way things are, means how things arise, that is the truth. So this is very clear, isn't it? Then turn to the next page. We finish this, you can have your meditation. Oh, I took 10 minutes of your time already. Never mind. I think because you got 45 minutes. Okay. Question 4. When meditating, is it normal that the mind may go blank for a while? What do you think? How many of you experienced that? Anyway, I read you the answer better. The mind can go blank for a while or for quite some time, depending on the type of meditation one is doing. But it is more important for us to understand what the main purpose of meditation is, or bhavana is. The main purpose is to realize the wisdom that can enable us to understand clearly the Four Noble Truths, so that our mind can be liberated from all the entanglements of life that can condition our mental suffering. So whatever meditative experience that can bring about this wisdom or understanding is more important than just want to find out how to blank your mind. You think when it blank, you realize Nibbana. Brother Teo, blank, nothing already, cessation already. Then you go out and live life, see how. Your old character still there, your anger, your fear, your phobia, everything still there, your habitual tendency. Then you ask yourself, what type of cessation is that? Then I used to joke with my wife, every lady also go through cessation. You know when? Menopause. Understand or not? You cease to conceive. So you also go through cessation. So you are all arahant already. So when you understand, you must understand it clearly. Otherwise, you become gullible. So blank state of mind doesn't mean you go through cessation. So By just blanking our mind or developing the very special meditative experience during meditation, these are not important. The very special or beautiful meditative experiences that arise during meditation are only conditioned state. And if they do not bring about a transformation in understanding, then they should be left as they are. They should not be clung onto or perceived as equivalent to special achievement in meditation. Always remember this. Certain type of one-pointedness, concentration or absorption meditation can bring about a state of mind like no thought or blank mind for quite a long period of time. The calmness can be very strong, but the mind is without any awareness within, it's just blank. If you just focus, don't want to think, don't want to know, you will go in, become blank. And that one, you go to Zen monastery, you be careful. You cannot whack by the chief monk or the abbot. Where he said, we already have Anna Buddha statue, I don't want one more in the meditation area. Such meditation is mainly what they call samatha in nature. Samatha means one-pointedness, absorption. You are not conscious at all. Then there is one type of absorption inside there, full of awareness, but that awareness is very still. They call it apana samadhi. Means you went into deep samadhi, not the free mind type. Then that one also, the awareness is very clear. Well, when I went into the what they call continuous absorption, I realize the awareness is there. But if I want to free the awareness, I can go into just that blank state. And after you come out, you feel very good, like you have rested for very, very long. You are like your mind didn't have any activity, no thought, nothing. If you want to maintain your youth, look young, not much aging, you do that type of meditation. But when I was in my 20-something to 30 years old, even in the university, I do a lot of that. Then when I come out to work, when I was in the university, that time I was, when I graduated, I was 25 years old. Then I went to private sector, then JKR. Then after 3 years, I remember, I went over to University Malaya, where I stay. And because I got a lot of time to meditate there, so I don't grow old. When I was, I think in my 8 year or 9 year, after I was there for another 6 years, I think, I look like a student at the age of about 30-something, I think 35. So they used to think that I was one of the undergraduate inside there. So at that time, my face don't age on. I remain in that state for quite a long time. Then later on, I realized no point. If you want to improve your health or what, then you can do that. But this is for physical. Because that absorption energy, the continuous mindfulness, it makes you very calm, very still. And after you come out, like you feel very good. You feel like you rested very long. You recuperate. Then your feature or the complexion or like you know, there's a layer of oil and all those things. It's very, very, like you are still within the youthful age and all those things. But later on, no point. This understanding, no, form is just form. It goes the way of nature. Why you want to do something about it? That's why later on, I think you want to dye my hair. No point. So why you want to waste time doing that? But doesn't mean that I do that, you also follow me. Please, if you want to keep your hair dark, radiant or what, go ahead. Nothing wrong with that. But don't attach. Understand? Attach means what? One day you got no condition to dye. Dye hair, not dye. D-Y-E, not D-I-E. Then what happened? You become unhappy. You used to look so nice. That is attachment. Attached to black hair. So now my wife also don't dye. She also the gray hair. And a lot of people tell her, wow, this is natural dyeing. You know a natural dyeing. That natural color, silvery, is like you have specially go and dye. So all this is depend on the individual. Okay, I will finish off this part, then you can have your meditation. Okay. Hey, I finish, Oh no, the last part, yeah, okay. Without any awareness within. Such meditation is mainly samatha in nature. One will have to release the absorption or concentration back to normal awareness, normal state of awareness, to cultivate sati sampajana or mindfulness and clear comprehension, leading to the daily mindfulness with clear comprehension, to develop the insight and wisdom needed for enlightenment. So this is very useful. When you understand this, you know where your focus is. Okay, you can off the light and do your meditation. I will ring the bell after, I think you have at least half an hour. No, more than that, you got 40 minutes. Okay, I will ring the bell in about 30 minutes so that we can have 10 minutes of Q&A or whatever. Okay, off the light.
Thank you.
slowly, mindfully, come out, meditation. Anybody want to ask any question or report meditation? We still got 10 minutes. Anybody? Just put up your hand. Nobody. So how was the meditation? No response. What does it mean? Ah, yes. Pass the mic to the lady at the back there. Yeah.
Morning, Brother Teo.
Yeah, morning.
There's a struggle between sleepiness and trying to be aware.
Oh, okay. Who struggle?
The mind is struggling.
Why must you struggle? You forgot what I tell you.
Pardon?
Why must you struggle?
There's
sleepiness is what?
It's nature, natural.
I see. It's a hindrance, understand now, mental hindrance. So you have to find out whether it's your body tired or whether that sloth and torpor has set in. So you have to find out, are you tired?
Yes.
Not tired, then sleep lah. Understand now, relax into it, silent, and sleep. But if you can maintain awareness, maintain. Meditation is not to fight the hindrance. If it's a body condition, you need to rest, you might as well go and rest. Understand that? Then what do you do?
It was like a ding-dong game for me.
Yeah, like, what do you do? When so you say you struggle, means what you do?
Then
you force yourself to be awake.
I slightly opened my eyes.
Okay. Yeah.
The sleepiness went off for a while, and then it comes back again.
You again cannot recall what you're supposed to do. That's why you have this type of problem. Because I realize a lot of these meditators, like you all who are new, you don't know what to do because I don't know what you all have been taught and what you have been learned. Learning. What I've told you is very simple. If you are sleepy, it's either you are tired or you have sloth and torpor, which is a mental hindrance. If the mental hindrance is there, you cannot meditate, isn't it? If it's tired, go and sleep. Yeah? Or go for a walk or rest. If it's not tired, if it's a condition of the mental hindrance, then what must you do? What must you do? If you don't know how to answer, don't know how to answer, then I will explain. You see, when the mental hindrance is there, I really say, don't fight it, don't resist it, understand? When you struggle, means you are resisting, understand? You try to keep awake. Then you try, open my eye, how? Oh, for a while, no more sleep. Yeah? Close my eyes, sleep again. So it means you don't understand the purpose of meditation. Meditation is to train your mind. If you cannot train, the mental hindrance are there, means your spiritual faculty is not there, your mindfulness is not there. So what you're supposed to do is, when this mental hindrance arise, let's say you are not tired, then you stay with it. Don't go and struggle. Stay with it means what? Just silent. Be aware of it. When you don't label it as sleepy, sloth and torpor, it's not a hindrance anymore. Understand not? You can follow or not? So this is what you're supposed to do. Relax into it and silent. Even the 6R tissue the same. What did the 6R say? The first R is what? Recognize that this is a condition distracting you. And if you react to it, it becomes a hindrance. Always remember that. If you don't react, no hindrance means nothing is going to hinder you from entering the meditative state. So if you just relax and silent, you don't create mental hindrance, then this silent mind, which is sati, will take over. Then what you need to do is the second R is to relax into it, which is the same as my four support. Whatever mind state, relax. Don't think. Don't react. Don't struggle. Don't do anything. Just stay with it. Maintain awareness. If you relax, then you will go. Then the shift of consciousness can happen. Because you have to give it a try. If you don't do all this, means you don't know what you are doing in the name of meditation. Then you can be repeating all this struggling. Then sometimes they tell you, go and wash your face. Which is not a bad idea. The school teacher always say, well, you are sleepy in the class, they say go and wash your face. Then you come back fresh. Well, the cold water make you fresh. But if you are tired, you need to sleep. I found out, you study, I go and sleep. Then after that, I study very well. Meditation also same. When your body is too tired, unless you know how to maintain silent mindfulness, you might as well go and sleep, have a good rest, have a good body. Then after that, meditate. To meditate is just to maintain awareness. Train your mind to be aware. Just silent. Don't do anything. It's so simple. Okay? So, always remember, you have to meditate with understanding. When you don't know what you are doing down there, then you simply do things. You go and struggle, you go and open your eye, you go and wash your face. But this is what people do. And I don't blame you because you are not skillful enough because you seldom attend my class. But I haven't seen you before. You are from Penang, Oh, okay. That's why the Penang people except Puan Chi, I think the rest are quite new. Some are here before, but I don't think you all learn because I don't know what type of Dhamma you were taught. That was what I observed. Because you all cannot understand the thing that I try to say. And some of you find it like very humorous. It's not about humorous or not humorous. It's about your attentiveness. If you really want to understand, you see the important, you will be attentive. Then you listen, you go and read on your own, you go and find out on your own. You don't understand, you discuss with people. But I realize you all come and ask all these worldly questions. Like last time up there, they asked me all the other type of worldly questions. It's not to say you cannot you can but what is more important? So after they hear something, they go and worry, what must I do? Die already, the consciousness of what happened? That one immediately take birth or still stay around? Why you want to know all this? Then later on I told one or two of them, I say, you think your father-in-law or your mother-in-law die already, they don't know. The random or conscious still come out. Understand or not? Then they can hear you, they can see you, but you cannot see them, cannot hear them. And then you think they die, you go and simply talk. I tell you, they get angry with you. Understand? Especially those secrets that you did to them, you never tell. Then after they die, they hear it. What happened? You know, these are the random of consciousness that come out. It's just like your disconsciousness inside. If you don't train your mind, don't develop the Dhamma, you know what is disconsciousness? All of your bundle of memory with views, opinion, and conditioning, your fear, your phobia, everything, this rubbish come out. Understand or not? Breakfast already. So when this rubbish come out, you still think you are alive, then you still have attachment. You still attach to your family, attach to your children, your loved one. Then you still got your hatred and all things. So what happened? Then you realize, hey, how come nobody can see you? You talk to people, nobody respond to you. Then that time, your good friend at the side will say, hey, you die already lah. You don't know. Yeah, they already die before you. So they know. We have people tell them also. But if you are a cultivator, meditator, you know this is not you. But you have gone through the enlightenment, the cessation, all this, no more. Finish. It ceases. Then the thing continue. If you choose to come, you come. Otherwise, nothing happens. But let's say karma take you. Then this random of consciousness come out. By now, with some understanding, you should know this is not real. And then this one, if it has understanding, it doesn't attack, it will disperse. It's like when you burn a piece of wood. After you burn until no more flame, what happened? You say die. But the wood still got smoke in it. Yeah? The random, the smoldering and all those things, until completely no more heat. Yeah? Then smoke also don't have, everything also don't have. Then nothing happened. So your this one also same. It is energy, consciousness, and it's content. So it will disperse if you don't have attachment. But you have attachment and clinging. This one stay for very long. So all this, if you meditate, you develop the understanding, you can understand. How I can tell you? I didn't read from somewhere because my consciousness came out when I was young. That's why I understand. And I, technically, I die. I can't go in. I can't go in. The body, like, don't belong to me. Then, because of my past, I know what to do. I just give it a push. Pop, I went in. Then, immediately, I want to confirm what happened. That I was not dreaming or hallucinating or what. Then, my brother came in. I saw my brother. I called him. He cannot hear me. Then I saw him do all those things, saying all those things. Then after that, immediately I went back into my body. First thing, I went out and looked for him. Then I asked him, did you go in and say all those things and do it? He said, yes. How do you know? He said, I was sleeping like a log. He said, but my body completely like dead. But that day I was so tired. I go and play until I completely use up all my energy. Then what happened was, when I came back home, I just have enough strength to reach home. I completely flat on the bed. Very funny thing, no? Like I know how to die or no. I was so young that time, I think 8 or 9 years old. So I was on the bed. Then all of a sudden I realized, there is a type of force that bond my mind or consciousness to this body, It start to dissipate now. Then later on, when I grew up, I realized this is the craving force that binds you to this body. So when you no more energy, like life force, anything, all those things no more, your heartbeat no more pumping, you are so tired until you got no more energy. That's how death happens. Then this consciousness, the craving force, dissipate. Then all the three areas of consciousness come back to one. Then this consciousness flow out. Yeah, the body cannot support you already. That's how I know I was out there. Without the senses, I can see, I can hear, I can do all those things. But that is not me. That is that consciousness inside come out. It's meant for me to understand so that when I grew up, when I do the meditation, I know what this thing is. That's why don't go and fear all this. Don't go and believe what people tell you. When the consciousness come out, it has got no physical form. It cannot harm you. It cannot do anything to you. The only thing he has power over you is when you have fear. When you project your thought. When you panic. Then they intensify your fear. Understand? Because they got energy. And when they got hatred, you felt it before. Yeah? Sometimes you go to places where it's very eerie. You go in, they say, Amo kun chang, or what? Your hair stand on end. You have heard that before, yeah? But did you experience it? Means there is really this non-human there. Doesn't want you to come near. very angry, aggressive type of energy. That's why your body will feel. But inside that feel, you don't know that natural response, the hair stand. Then you panic. Then you come out and say, hey, ugui one. That's what you do because you don't understand. That's why this Dhamma is very beautiful. You meditate, you can understand so many things. Ah, okay, better we go for breakfast, otherwise you miss your breakfast again. Okay, we end. Huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So I hope I answer your question. So learn, find out more. It's good that you ask, at least you learn for new people. Okay, so pay respect, then go for breakfast. After you come back, we will have a full puja, because we have a new altar, new offering, everything. So we will do a full puja. Then we will do the invocation of devas also. Yeah?